Thank you to the sponsor of today's podcast, Call of Dragons. Call of Dragons is an original, immersive, and epic fantasy world. Taking place in the world known as Tamaris, team up with the elves, orcs, celestials, goblins, and countless other magical creatures to build your vast army. Dive into your own fantasy city with unique decor for each faction. Arrange your city as you see fit, and build the unique fantasy metropolis of your dreams. Once you leave the safety of your own city, prepare for battle alongside your scary but friendly behemoth. Command your behemoth to aid you in battle with a variety of epic behemoths are scattered across Tamaris. Powerful giant bears, venomous hydras, lightning-fast thunder rocks, and terrifying flame dragons. Work together with your alliance to defeat them and bring them under your command, then unleash them in battle. And please don't forget to name them. Train up your heroes with unique skills that can turn the tide of battle in an instant. Unleash powerful abilities to wipe out your opponents with a huge array of equipable magical artifacts, each with their own unique skills. Turn invisible, move at astounding speed, teleport or heal your units in an instant. Equip your heroes with an artifact that suits their abilities and unleash artifact skills to dominate the battlefield. Call of Dragons has true 3D terrain that shapes the gameplay. Tamaris is a land of mountains, rivers, valleys, tundra, and countless other features. Not only is it beautiful, it's also essential to use your terrain to your advantage. Build your city on a plateau to make yourself impervious to attack. Set up an ambush in a mountain valley to wipe out enemy forces, or occupy the high ground and cut all would-be invaders down to size. And that's just scratching the surface. In Call of Dragons, combat isn't just a matter of numbers. With the right strategy, you can turn any situation to your advantage. All these features come together to create an incredible fantasy battle experience that allows you to wage war your way. So, if you're ready to jump into the fantasy world of Tamaris, download Call of Dragons today on PC or mobile by using my link in the description.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Chat, what's Scuttlebutt?
No, we already talked about it on Camp Goose, but I don't want to make you guys talk about Scuttlebutt again.
I mean, we mentioned Scuttlebutt, but I don't want to make the kids sad.
We talked about it on Camp Goosebuds, and you guys didn't listen to it after that entire conversation.
I was tired.
Chad, I read Dan to Dan 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 Dan.
You did! You read Dan to Dan to Dan 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 and you seem to like it.
I did really like it.
Oh.
It's a manga, and I'm kind of in a manga zone right now. I really like...
He's in the manga zone.
I'm in the manga zone right now.
Oh, he's in the manga zone. Come on
yeah,
down.
Yeah, you know. Come on down to manga zone.
Get in the zone.
Get in the zone, manga zone.
Yeah, it's good. Dan to Dan. It's Dan to Dan, right?
Dan to Dan. I don't know why it's called that.
I like a lot of manga and anime and stuff that has nonsensical kind of onomatopoetic titles. Like, I like Durarara. It's almost a marker of quality, whereas on the opposite end, you have, like, stuff that's, like, 2 sentences long. Like, I can't believe my girlfriend is my new butler after starting a new life in another world.
Can't believe I turned into a car in a world where people fuck cars.
In another world where people fuck cars.
In another world where people fuck cars. So the 2 paths for our banter. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to Goose, but that is the banter. Can't do that.
You can't do that here.
One door is marked Gator.
Okay.
Okay.
And one door is marked Ice.
Ooh. Well, I feel like being a devout altar boy of Ice Church, I have to vote Ice.
Chad, I appreciate you offering 2 options, but I think you knew that us pilgrims of ice would never go into any other door.
I'm glad you picked Iceland because my prompt was just we need to talk more about Ice Church and get it going.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
Hot summer. We need to. What better time to pull people into Ice Church than when the temperatures are going higher and higher?
Listen, there's going to be more ice on this earth in a little bit, and there's going to be plenty of fertile ground for our church.
Yeah.
Wait, there's going to be more ice?
To date the pod a little bit, there is a wildfire burning in Canada. And I know, listener, you turned this on to escape from things that are happening in the world. So I'm sorry to drag you back into reality. But the East Coast is kind of a smoky problem zone right now.
And hey, Ice Church, we never claim to sugarcoat anything. We give it to you straight, you know?
We claim to coat a lot of things in ice, but not with sugar, because sugar is expensive.
The ice might be a little cloudy, but our rules aren't.
There may be some ice on that bottle, but don't let it fool you about what's inside.
Off the top of your head, you good old choir boys, what are the tenets of Ice Church that you can recall?
Oh, boy.
Well, there's a thing under the ice.
Right.
Yes.
I think we built a church over that, right?
Yeah, we built a church over the thing under the ice, and we're trying to melt the ice to get to the thing under the ice. And
wait, we're trying to melt the ice, yeah. Or we're trying to keep the ice going?
Well, humans are warm and full of sin, yeah. So we're praying over the thing.
Yeah, we're gathering body heat with new followers, because we don't want to use fire. It's against our religion, so we have
to. Of course.
So we have to use slow fire, body heat, to melt the ice to release whatever is below there that I don't even know that we know what it is.
We wanted to come out. I thought we were keeping it down there.
Well, you know, there's three of us, and I can imagine that they're, you know, inevitably, as with any, like, big religious organization, we're going to splinter off into sects eventually.
Oh, my God, I'm a splitter. Oh, no, I didn't realize.
Chad has already started the schism in that he doesn't want the thing in the ice to come out. And we're like, that's kind of why we started Ice Church.
I thought we all agreed that that was the Ice Church, but you're an originalist.
I thought we all decided that there's a big shadowy mass down there and it don't look friendly and we need to keep it under the ice as long as possible.
Why would calling people into Ice Church with their warm body heat solve that problem, Chad?
Well, that's the test, right? Because I think one of the things we do in Ice Church is you have to sit on the ice with your bare naked butt, right? And that's a part of our sort of like atonement.
We're so that you're closer to the thing under the ice.
Yeah, but like we don't want to come out. We want to be reminded of it, right? We need to be like, you need to come in here with as cold a butt as possible.
Wow, I thought that the butt thing was like a Princess and the Pea situation where you had to come in and put your bare butt down. And if you were like, there a mass under here? We were like, you're in. You get it.
Yeah. You felt the presence of the thing under the ice.
I'm okay with that. It's just whether or not we're into the presence under the ice or not, because it scares me, y'all, that presence under the ice.
Listen, all right, with the way things are going, we're going to get kaiju'd eventually.
Might as well be our kaiju.
Might as well be our guy, you know?
So during church, are we like trying to cause friction with our butts on the ice? Are we like, rub your butts?
No, so that would be that's kind of unseemly, Chad. Oh, I think we just kind of go in there, you know, give up our body heat once a week to the ice. You know, Ice Church gets a little lower, which is, you know, a progress you really don't see in regular church. Like, you don't really see visually how everyone is getting closer to God every week in church.
That's what's better about Ice Church is we do see it. We have a little, like, inch meter on the sides. Like, we went down 2 centimeters. See, this last week.
Sounds like Chad's all about meeting the thing under the ice at this point.
I think you're seeing the mass, Chad.
I think here's in my mind how this kind of works out is to you guys publicly, I am, as one of the triumvirate founders of Ice Church.
The three popes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The three popes. The trinity of popes.
Would you call us the popesicles?
I love it. I love it.
Love it. I'm already getting ideas for the wardrobe. I love it.
I would say I'm like, yes. Boy, I can't wait for that dark, sinister mass that I swear is looking up at me to come out of the ice. But after church on like Monday, maybe we don't have church on Sunday. Who says we have to have church on Sunday? Whatever. Our day off.
Let's make it a weekday so that corporate America has to give us off.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Let's do
Wednesday. I always thought people should have Wednesdays off. Yeah.
I like that.
In Catholic school, we had to have mass on Wednesdays, and it was always a nice way of like, what a way to break up the week.
Yeah.
sitting here about a god that doesn't believe in me.
I play Space Kings on Wednesdays, available now at spacekings.space and book.spacekings.space. So it's a good day to just kind of chill out.
So we have church on Wednesdays at Ice Church. That's great to know. But, you know, one of the days, like, maybe, you know, one of you guys is coming in on Thursday just to, I don't know, make sure that the power is still running.
I like to come in on Thursdays and risky business across the ice a little bit.
If I may say, Paul, it's a mild sin. It's the lightest of sin.
We need to have a little sin. If there's no sin in the religion at all, then, you know, like, what are we fighting against, you know?
Yeah, the thing in the ice, like, wants us to have fun in the time we have left, right? Like,
sure.
Before it devours us.
It wants us to have very warm, frictiony fun above it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What I say is you're causing friction that isn't about, you know, thinking about what you are and all the mistakes you've made at normal church sessions. You're having a fun time doing it, and I don't know if I want our religion to have fun.
God, we're really heading towards that schism.
Yeah, schisming up.
All right, but you know, here's what it is. You're doing that, and you're coming in. That's like your little secret, right? You're like, no, it's not. It's a minor thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you come in there, and you turn on the lights, and you catch me with a hose.
Uh-huh.
I am pouring.
Are you recovering?
That's it. Schism. Instant schism. I'm starting the Jolly Boys, and we're going to have fun with Ice Church.
Instant schism because our landlord says we have to pay for water, Chad.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what Kevin splits is on the finances.
That's just the kind of Pope I am, baby. I'm Pope / treasurer.
Just adding a little bit. Just adding a centimeter of ice every week to counterbalance the centimeter we're losing.
Well, Chad. You're backsliding us. Don't you want the world to end and the thing in the ice to, you know, go fight Mechagodzilla or something?
Make a good point.
What do you want to do, Chad? Do you want to die in a bed surrounded by people who love you, or do you want to die in the mouth of the thing beneath the ice who's about to go fight Mechagodzilla?
I just want anyone who's part of Ice Church to feel welcome to come to me at any time, and you can confess to me that you also find the thing in the ice a little scary.
Okay, that's fair. You know, I was gonna take you to task, but I feel bad. You know, I think our schisms can get along still.
Yeah, but no schisms in the ice.
No, we want to smoothly wake this thing up. We don't want any
cracks. Yeah, I think a shard is unseemly. Like a crack or a fissure in it, that's wrong. We want it to be like he's melted down like Austin Powers.
We also want to be conscientious about like when the thing is going to break out of the ice. I'm not against putting a little water back on if we think like we could have a better yield of folks.
Like if a really good video game's coming out in like 3 months or something. You know?
And you know, people are like, I'm gonna take Ice Church off to go play video games. It's like, well, we don't want them to miss like a good part of the melting, you know? So
we like rented out the church for a day to like a hockey team. We're like, we don't want it coming out while we're not there and the hockey team's on top. We need to make sure it's solid for another week.
We're playing hockey in Ice Church.
Sure.
Full contact.
Mm-hmm. No helmets.
No
helmets. You know what? That'd be kind of cool is every once in a while you notice like the ice is like a little red. It's from blood that's frozen back into the ice.
And then the red gets sucked deeper and we don't see where it goes.
Oh, that's cool. Ice Church is red.
We can heal this schism.
Welcome to Goosebuds.
Welcome to Goosebuds. I'm Kevin.
I'm Chad.
And I'm Paul.
And usually we talk about Goosebump books, other YA books, give them the hard-hitting critique they deserve. But today we're going to visit another thing connected to the 90s that is close to all of our hearts. Hey Arnold, Nickelodeon TV show.
Yeah, I wanted to be weird. And I remember there being a few spooky episodes of Hey Arnold. So I figured we'd talk about like the first spooky episode of Hey Arnold, I think. Unless you consider Being Lost Downtown spooky, in which case the first episode.
You know, it's funny you say that, Kevin. The next episode that aired right after this, when we watched it, was Arnold gets mugged by an adult man.
Oh, that's right. Mugged.
Who has yellowed eyes. Like drugs, heroin stained eyes. And he just fucks Arnold up.
Jesus. Yeah. As a kid living in the suburbs, Hey Arnold was my connection to what it's being a kid in the city might have been like.
It's funny. I was going to talk to you. I was going to ask you guys that, like what your connection to the show was, because I watched a decent amount of Hey Arnold and I also grew up in the suburbs, but the rest of my family lived down in Philadelphia. So I would go there a lot. And I knew as soon as I went to Philadelphia and as soon as I watched Hey Arnold that they were not talking about my city. that I live near, but I still felt like I was getting a connection to the city life, and it was nice to see.
I do like how vague the city is in Hey Arnold. Mm-hmm. Like it could be, you know, New York.
It seems like New York.
Yeah. It seems a lot like New York, but it might not be. Nothing makes it explicitly New York.
No, no.
There is a Rust Beltiness to it, especially in the Haunted Train episode.
Yes, mm-hmm, yes.
Mm-hmm. According to the Wikipedia, it is not New York City, and it is supposed to be in Washington State.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Washington? Mm. Okay.
Pacific Northwest, baby. Which I don't know. I haven't been to the Pacific Northwest, so I can't speak to how the cities feel. But this city feels distinctly Northeast.
Like, I guess that could be a Seattle, but yeah, it feels Northeast to me.
There's a lot of brick, and I kind of associate brick with Northeast.
Yeah.
But I associate brick with Chicago, personally. But maybe just all cities have brick, and we're just just Chicago's got a lot of, like, old brick buildings. And, like, down in that building, under the trains, a blues legend used to play. That kind of thing.
And Hey Arnold does have a bluesy vibe.
It does. Like,
there's a jazziness to it. And I love the early Hey Arnold episode so much. I don't know if you guys got around to watching the season 5 episode I recommended.
I did not.
Okay. We don't have to talk about it. It's Digipaint, and there's no song in it, and why would we even bother?
Digipaint? What are you talking about?
You know, and, well, like, the Hey Arnold we watched is you know, it's on Cells, right?
Yeah.
And Hey Arnold went on for 5 years, so it lived to see the transition to digital Cells instead of, like, you know, so it looks bad.
It lived long enough to become terrible.
Yeah. In case we didn't have enough to talk about, listener, just to be, like, totally transparent, in case we didn't have enough to talk about, I did suggest a season 5 episode called The Ghost Bride. Not only is that episode kind of messed up on Paramount Plus, it's also, like, just a bad episode. Like, it has no soul to it. It's just kids being dicks to each other.
Can I ask why you recommended it? Was it because it was scary?
I looked up what are the scariest Hey Arnold episodes, and that came in at number one just because it featured a real murder suicide.
Whoa!
Wow!
Whoa!
But there's really not that much to it.
Oh, okay.
But God, The List, right? Can we talk about The List?
The List.
The List is a thing that I think about constantly as an adult.
Really?
It is a Ferris Bueller's of an episode.
Yeah.
It has extreme Ferris Bueller energy.
A lot of, you know, it's also Nickelodeon, a lot of, it feels like very much a Pete and Pete plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something Little Pete would have done.
It's a nice sort of, like, here's some advice snuck in there, and some, like, metaphors, and, like, oh man, like, they set this one up so beautifully. And the other one is set up very similarly, where they give you kind of the episode outline before the episode happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, because, like, Gerald, like, reads out the list for A Kid's Perfect Saturday, and, you know, you eat 3 bowls of sugar cereal, you watch cartoons until Dance Craze comes on.
Mm-hmm. You bike down the steepest hill in the city.
You play catch with every kid in the park. You watch a movie, the same movie 3 times in the movie theater.
3 times in a row.
I was surprised by that part of the list. We definitely need to analyze what this list is, and if it's not
well,
really clear.
What we need to do is assign time stamps to each of these activities and see if it is even possible to get through an entire The List in a Saturday.
But that's the beauty of The List, is The List is, like, perfection. It's such a, like, kind of, like, zen episode where it's, like, perfection's unattainable.
Absolutely.
And you have this, like, subplot of grandma trying to move her piano into the apartment, and it's not working out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the episode's all about finding beauty in imperfection. And as a kid, it is really super hard to find beauty in imperfection. It's way easier just to get frustrated with imperfection.
Mm-hmm. I think The List is also telling us that anything worth doing is worth overdoing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's not a bad thing to try and achieve The List, you know?
So yeah, the list, which I appreciated, was, and these are all the kids are on the playground, are like, hey, it's Friday, what are you going to do tomorrow? Like, I think it's Sid or one of the other kids pulls out the with the veneration of an artifact, the list that is folded up into this very interesting, like, triangle square.
Yeah, yeah, Sid's the one with the green hat, and he does, like, the little kneel, and he goes, Gerald, please take the stage.
And I love that it is folded in a way, you know the way it's folded? It's folded in the way that a girl would fold a note. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah. How did they do that?
I never learned that technique. It was a wild technique.
It reminds me of the paper football fold.
Very close as to, well. Yes.
Yes. Except it's a little square.
Except it contains itself perfectly so that you can... The note fold is a beautiful fold. It's American origami, if I would say so.
Do you guys remember carrying around like shit like that? Like just little like kid artifacts? Like this is a list of cool shit that I like and... Maybe mm-hmm. that goes in the box full of cool rocks you have.
Can I share the most embarrassing one I had was
yeah.
I had a folded up piece of paper in my little kid wallet. You know, when you're like, I'm an adult, I have a wallet with $5 in it.
Uh-huh. That's me. That's me right now.
is at some point in like elementary school or middle school, I thought I had solved the electricity problem.
Okay.
Which was essentially, I bet I probably have it still somewhere, but it was essentially like, what if you just put like a hydro powered electric generator inside a big sphere of water, and then you have the water just kind of like the orb just spin around like a washing machine.
So it's like a water Dyson sphere.
A water Dyson sphere. And I was like, yeah, then the water passes through the generator, which powers it to turn.
Yeah.
And then any excess water is siphoned off.
Yeah.
And I was like, this idea is brilliant. Why has no one done this yet? And I drew out a diagram of it, very detailed.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I was like, I need to, and I folded it up and hid it in the most secret pocket of my wallet. It's like, someday I'm going to, I don't know, bring it to Shark Tank, which didn't exist yet or something. And just like, I'm going to save the world with my brilliant engineering.
Chad, that's beautiful. The only piece of paper artifact that I had in my wallet was a contract that I wrote to a friend of mine who lent me $1 on donut day to buy a donut, and I sold him my soul.
You did the Bart Simpson thing?
Yeah, I sold my soul for $1 for a donut. Worth it. Honestly, worth it.
I had a bunch of sketches of like this planet where like the sun, instead of light, produced sound. And so all the plants were shaped like ears. And then my science teacher told me that sound can't travel through space.
And you said, shut up, old man.
And, and I kind of was like, well, a part of me died today.
You should have said, not yet, old man, and then walked away confidently.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of influenced my world building ever since for my fantasy projects.
Yeah, did you? Yeah, it feels very Space Kings, but also like, I don't know, like a Rush album art or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just like, here's a weird sun that produces like waves that little weird plants pick up. And the idea of the universe full of stuff instead of full of nothing has been incredibly appealing to me ever since.
I love it. These are actually, not to knock this episode, I think these are all kind of cooler than... The list itself that everyone agreed on, it's a solid list. I feel like it's missing something.
Well,
Chad,
what's your list? What's your list?
I thought about this while watching, and I guess mine's not as interesting, but mine would be play a video game all day without your dad coming and telling you you had to mow the lawn and three neighbors' lawns. That to me.
What a beautiful fucking day. Can you imagine?
I don't know if you're being sarcastic.
No,
I mean that was an important thing.
It was like, Chad, I've directly lived that same life where all I wanted to do was just to grind at Final Fantasy for like 6 hours straight, and I wasn't able to because I had to go grind on the mowing beat.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
I feel like I live the list every day a little bit since, you know, I make video games and podcasts. Mm. I'm a little weird fairy child who just does whatever the hell he wants. But I did watch my friend's house for a weekend. And I just kind of had to fill time. So I read manga for like the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
And then like my friend came over and we watched Babette's Feast.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And I think we also watched Waking Ned Divine, which is another big one.
One of your 12 movies.
It's one of my 12 movies that I've seen.
Both of those are two of your 12 movies.
Yeah. So that's like 1/6 of all the movies I've ever seen.
That's what it says as one of the bullet points on your list is watch 1/6 of the movies that I've watched.
Yeah, and then like, you know, I played video games and looked at magic cards and fell asleep. Like that's
okay. Yes, I think these are great, and I think to go back to the Hey Arnold list. Here's what I think is brilliant about the Hey Arnold list. One item on it in particular, to eat three bowls of sugar chunk cereal, which presupposes that those will be the three meals you have for the day. And what that means is that you do not have to prepare any meals. You are you're maximizing the rest of your time for the day because those are pre-made meals that all you got to do is pour and eat, and you're back in. You're back into the list.
You're just carbo loading for the rest of the day.
And sugar loading.
It's sugar breakfast. Like, sugar breakfast is the thing that humans crave.
There's nothing wrong. There's nothing better than a bowl of cereal in the morning.
There's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing better.
I think about it all the time. I always want a bowl of cereal. It is like the most comforting food in the world.
It's because it's a food and a drink at the same time.
Oh, it's so nice.
Paul, we haven't heard your perfect Saturday.
Mine is very similar. I think mine would probably be play video games all day, because that's the one thing that I don't get to just do anymore as an adult. So I would want to play video games, and I think the cereal would be very important. But I do think I would like to get outside. So I think that I like that idea of biking down the steepest hill. I think that's a great one. I would probably do that. I would probably bike somewhere and have... bike somewhere really far but beautiful, and then at the end of it I would want to have a big crispy beer that I chug it and I go woo, and then hop back on my bike and then ride back.
I love a big, like, dumb piss yellow beer after physical and get
the good burn.
It's the greatest. It's one of the greatest feelings you can have as an adult.
You work a hard day, and then you have a burger and a really crisp piss beer. A pissy boy, if you will.
And you drink it like an anime character, where you like go glug glug glug, and then you have a beer mustache, and you go pshush.
Yeah, you know, I did that, but what I truly meant was I wanted a pshoo.
I definitely drink my beers like Masato from Evangelion.
Yes, that's precisely it.
There is a really good fan art that's like crossover Hey Arnold and Evangelion.
Oh my god. Right, so Helga's obviously Asuka.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Arnold is Shinji.
And there's the...
Is Phoebe?
No, it's the red-haired girl. I forget. I think she's a season 2 introduction. That's Rey.
Grandpa's... The dad, yeah,
without a doubt. Is Gerald what's his name, the friend
who... Gerald's the one that's an angel secretly, spoilers,
right.
There is a closeness between Arnold and Gerald that you really can't deny. Okay, one thing I just want to point out really quick about all of our perfect Saturdays is none of us said go to like an amusement park or like pay to go to a place or like spend a lot of money or whatever.
No, I'm staying home.
These are all like really personal, like, non... You can't, like, sell the perfect Saturday, right?
No. Can't buy it either.
And it's kind of a thing you also do alone. It's interesting, like, you know, you may interact with people, but there's a self, like, contained aspect to the perfect Saturday where you don't have to rely on another person to give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Even Arnold's one I think is interesting is, you know, I guess the social part is to play catch with every kid in the park. That's one of them.
Right. Yeah.
But is that really like a complicated game of catch, or is it like, now you toss me the ball. All right, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Is every kid a transaction to you at that point?
That one, as a kid, especially, cause I didn't like kids when I was a kid. And I'm still not sold on them today. But like that one, I was like, yeah, I could skip that one.
Yeah, so that one's okay. Okay.
Yeah, we can go through the episode now.
I think that was we should know what we were all thinking about, because I was thinking it as he was reading the list. I was like, I don't know if I agree with all of these.
And I think that's another message of the episode too, is Arnold is living someone else's perfect Saturday. He didn't write the list. This is a list concocted by another kid who we assume failed to carry out the perfect Saturday and passed it down.
I assume there was like a collective at one point about it, but this is true. We don't really get into the origins of who was the author of the list.
Yeah, it's sort of like a broken, unattainable dream. It's sort of a generational trauma list that's passed down from kid to kid.
I feel like this one is a child's folklore and the next one is an adult's folklore.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
And we kind of see like Arnold, you know, wanting to have this perfect Saturday you know, he's setting his alarm, being like, tomorrow's going to be great.
Can I ask a question about the alarm? Because I don't remember the Hey Arnold universe as well as I probably should. Why does he have a self-branded clock?
He's kind of like a gadget kid. Like, he kind of he makes inventions and stuff.
But do we see him make those things? I just don't remember him, like, putting it together.
He's got, like, this sort of engineering sense. Like, his room has, like, a bed that, like, pops out with a remote control and all that. Like, it's never really part of his character. Like, he never solves problems with his engineering acumen. It's just, it's part of, like, the fantasy of Hey Arnold is that, you know, he's... like, he can put a clock together. Like, I love that he has the Hey Arnold branded bespoke clock that has his little head on it. And that breaks when, like, a newspaper blows into his window and knocks the clock over.
Oh, that's not the newspaper. I think that is the list.
The list breaks his clock?
Is it?
Oh, see, I thought it was so interesting. So we're just to sort of explain that moment. Arnold's like, all right, going to do this list tomorrow. And he goes to sleep. And then a gust of wind comes in and paper runs into his clock and knocks it off.
It would be super fucking poetic if it was the list.
So I thought like it was the list as sort of saying like, oh, and you'll never have me. Yeah. Sort of like, but maybe it was just a newspaper. Maybe it was just a stray, you know, debris in the wind.
Yeah. But then he pulls out an identical clock that he had in his sock drawer, which is
that's right.
I thought that was funny.
I will remark that the room itself, whether Arnold lives an interesting life of contradiction where his grandparents are they're landlords or at least
they run a boarding house.
They run a boarding house, not like the highest income boarding house, it seems like. It kind of feels like this is more of a lower income area.
Yeah.
But then Arnold's room, I think I've talked to every single person about Hey Arnold. The first thing they'll say is Arnold's room was a dream.
It is a beautiful room. That's what
everyone wanted that bedroom.
We were watching it and we were just like, that skylight is incredible.
Remember how much emphasis there was on your room in the 90s? Like that was like such a big character moment to see like Clarissa's room or like,
oh yeah,
the room was like the preteen to teen sanctum. And like there were like contests to win cool shit for your room.
Oh my god, yeah.
Room makeovers.
Yeah. Room makeovers.
Nickelodeon will come over and just like rip up your floorboards and put in an orange wacky sticky floor.
It was like okay, you know, preteens and teens, they're like kind of what do they want? They want this kind of independent sort of thing. How do we sell that to them? Well, maybe it's through the room. It's
their kingdom.
You know, their parents have all this money because the economy is real good, so every kid has their own room, right?
Which nowadays, I guess, we probably have just kind of channeled all of that kid energy as adults into, like, The Sims or Animal Crossing or digital abodes.
Yeah, you just live digitally. You just live online.
Right.
Damn.
Scary.
So Arnold wakes up already. He's already losing the perfect day. He has overslept.
So he has already failed from the beginning.
Yeah. And he just has to kind of keep going. And it's kind of like a relief. Like it's kind of a bit of a weight off, like as a watcher, like he's not constantly riding the line. It's like, you know, he's messed up. Let's just have fun watching him live this imperfect day. But things go very wrong. His grandpa eats all the sugar cereal and he has to eat bran with cottage cheese.
Prune bran cereal. Great prop design of clearly a man shitting his pants on the box.
And it's very funny that grandpa eschews the prune bran to have the sugar cereal.
I am looking at the box for prune bran, and you know, the idea behind prune bran is that it's going to make you poop real easy, but they're not selling that on the cover, you know?
Oh, he's having a hard time on that one. Passing that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say shout out to Raisin Bran, because that shit rules.
That shit's delicious.
Raisin Bran's are great. In my later years, my adult years, I'll go to Raisin Bran.
It's a healthy crunch, all right?
Not sponsored by Raisin Bran.
Okay, I'll say this, though. Raisin Bran, a healthy crunch, but you know what? If you get the 2-scoop of raisin with a lot of raisins in it, the chew, you'll have a tired jaw. Your jaw's going to be tired.
You will.
Yeah,
man.
You'll realize that there are muscles in the jaw that you never knew existed.
Hey, you want another cool Chad food hack that everyone always loves those?
Okay, yeah. Let's hear it.
Take some take a bowl of Raisin Bran.
Okay.
And then pour a little bit of Cocoa Krispies on top of that.
That's no mixing cereal. You know, mixing some cereal ain't nothing wrong with that.
Little chocolate, a little wheat flakes, and little raisins. It all works together. Mm-hmm. In a very
it's like
way.
A chocolate covered raisin.
I feel like at that point I'll just put some Hershey's chocolate syrup into my raisin.
Go for it, dude. Go for it.
Woo!
So Arnold is like, I can't even eat this prune because the milk has gone bad. It is cottage cheese. In the most of Great Expectations, Charles Dickens-esque way, he takes the box of sugar chunks and just kind of tosses some powder down his throat.
Yep.
That's what Arnold's going to live off of today.
Been there.
It counts.
Technically had sugar cereal. Mm-hmm. So he's lived part of the list.
He had three bowls for an ant. It counts.
Got his ass. And then he's off to watch TV, and he gets into most of the intro song to Cyborg Robots from Outer Space, mm-hmm. or whatever he's watching.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was getting a Transformers vibe from it, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Sadly, it explodes while he's listening to it. Not out of awesomeness, but out of his grandfather messing with the electric in the house for the day.
Yep. Yeah, he tries to fix the fuse box, and he knocks out the power. So Arnold leaves. He goes to try and fulfill the catch aspect of the list, and he catches his grandma trying to move a piano in through the front door with mm-hmm. a squad of moving goons.
Mm-hmm.
Identical working men.
I love that they just copy paste the design of all the of all the movers.
It was probably for budgetary reasons, but I love that there was just these five homunculoid men are shirtless with like denim overalls just moving this piano.
I like that kind of thing because it's like not everything has to be a memorable character, right? Like,
yeah,
just the prop design of this, like the mover is a prop almost.
No, I love it. My favorite version of that is in Frisky Dingo. There's a bunch of boards of old white men who all are the exact same model and they all go harumph and they eat each other like Wolverines.
I love all the backgrounds, and I just want to say, like, having seen the DigiPaint version of Hey Arnold, I love all the backgrounds and how expressive all the animation is, and like all these like really quick cuts of something super detailed interspersed throughout.
Mm-hmm.
This is cool, man. It's just we had money to spend on paying animators back in the day, and we can have that again. And moving, so we have the little vignette with the grandma trying to move the piano in, and she's being chipper even though the piano can't get through the door.
Her plans are also being thwarted. Her perfect plans in this moment are mirroring Arnold's plans, right?
And grandma's a great character. I think everyone remembers the turtle heist episode, where Arnold and his grandma free a turtle from the aquarium and set it free. Moving on, he goes to play catch in the park, and he meets like the most sus looking kid.
Dude,
this real weirdo.
Looks like he walked off the animated set of The Critic right onto this field.
Yeah, he's got like a really like stiff neck that like triangles down into his shirt.
His jaw is like wider than his forehead.
Yeah. I like how a lot of the Hey Arnold characters are voiced by kids, but whenever there's like a bit part creepy kid, they get like an adult to do it. And the ha ha got your ball kid is, I got your ball, is like totally.
Just takes it and sprints off the wall, because that's how it is in this tough city.
That's fucking real, dude.
This bitch of a city.
I remember my least favorite part of hanging out with kids as a kid was when Kid Law took over.
Oh, Kid Law it's the law of the jungle.
Yeah. If a faster kid got your thing, that wasn't your thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were faster than young Kevin.
Yeah, slow kid. That was, lost a lot of things. Lost a lot of,
Man.
First kid that Arnold threw to. Didn't even get to play catch with anyone else.
Yep.
That's off. I think by then he had also walked his bike all the way to the toppest hill in the city.
Well, he goes back home to get his bike after the park fiasco.
Right, it's being blocked in. He's losing valuable time to take care of the entire list. It's being blocked in now by the ramp that the men have set up to try and bring the piano into the house.
So he goes up to the steepest hill in the city. Some amazing backgrounds here. Mm-hmm. Just want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This show lives and dies by, it never dies. It always lives. Well, I guess maybe in season five it dies by the backgrounds. Okay, yeah, I guess. By the backgrounds. Even when it leaves the cityscapes, when it goes into the countryside, there's something really beautiful about it. And we'll get more of that in The Haunted Train. But yeah, it's just, it's so detailed. It feels so lived in. It's not perfect. It's got a nice grit to it.
Yeah, which is why I don't think it's set in New York.
Right.
But, like, there's an episode where Gerald and Arnold and Arnold's grandpa and Gerald's dad go camping, and Arnold's grandpa is recounting what World War II was like, fighting Nazis and all this shit, and Gerald's dad is recounting Vietnam, or I think Korea, I'm not sure. Grandpa's talking about killing Nazis, and the Nazis depicted have like frowny faces on their black coats instead of swastikas.
That's wild. I do not remember that episode at all. I'll have to look that up. That's crazy.
It's cool. Arnold's pretty fucking cool.
I love this show.
I love the show too. I love all the moments at the top of the hill, like pushing your bike to the top of the hill, and like he's all sweaty, but then that
cool
wind
breeze
comes along. Yep. And he's his hair refreshes. I love like Arnold's hair as like an antenna for his mood.
He replaces the hat into the center of it, and it parts it perfectly once again.
Yeah, and like we have this like this intense storyboard energy going into going down the hill.
Yep. Oh man, I love that it's like he's going down, and then it keeps cutting to a similar angle, but he's progressively more hunched downward as he's gaining speed, and it just keeps like jump cutting to the next to the next position. I love that.
Yeah, it feels like they saw the storyboard of it and they were like, we want to keep this energy.
Nail that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just, you know, he's in the tar as he enters the under construction part of the city. And there are all the other abandoned bikes that are stuck in the tar.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he just leaves his bike there. He's just like, yeah, just it's gone. It's lost to him.
I mean, are you gonna like scrub the asphalt out of the chain or
possibly?
This is the side of Arnold that they don't ever show us in the episodes, but child law will prevail and he will steal another bike at some point from another child.
It's true. Arnold's code of ethics is really malleable, especially in the later seasons.
Well, the most illegal thing to do now in this is the final moment of this is to go to
goodness.
The movies and sit through it three times in a row. I don't think he means buy three tickets. It is like sneak into the other
you're
two
doing,
screens.
You do the loop. You stay inside. You hide under. You hide from the ushers who come in to clean, and you do the loop.
Have you guys ever done that before?
No, Chad. No, never.
Oh, I would never break a law if presented with a clear opportunity to do it. No, Chad.
I love the rules, Chad, and I think that everyone should respect them. And trouble is real. It's not a fake idea. Did you know that you can get scolded if you do that?
I never did. I was a good boy.
Me too.
I was too scared.
Me too,
and
actually.
I would certainly never sneak beer into the theater.
That's super illegal.
Or snacks. You could get someone to really scold you if you do that.
speaking of 90s economy and inflation, Arnold is ready to go to the movies and he checks his pockets and he has about 4 coins.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "That sounds great." And I was like, there's no way that's what money was back then, was it?
Well, I mean, it also seems to be a theater that's doing a lot of, like, rerun style, like, older cinema type thing. And they may have a child discount.
We had a dollar theater, Chad, where we would, where it was like, you.
I guess I had a dollar theater, too, that just they stopped being the dollar theater and it became the $8
theater.
Yeah,
they didn't last very long, no.
I can see this existing as not a theater where you see new movies, but as a theater where you see movies that are maybe in the public domain.
Right. The dollar theater is definitely, you know, the girl running the box office is reading Cute Magazine, and that's exactly what was happening at the dollar theater.
So Arnold gets to the theater, and wouldn't you know it, there's a hole in his pockets, and he has lost the change. He has no way to get in.
And he tries to sweet talk his way into the Helga lookalike. But she will not relent. She's fully into Cute Magazine, and she says, "No, no, no," and she sucks the ticket back in.
She doesn't even acknowledge him with a no, no, no. She
no,
just
right.
presses the button
right.
again to retract the ticket. I love the child. I love the acting here. I love the desperately, please, lady, I'm having the worst day.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
because no one cares.
And this next moment, no, it's a normal Saturday. He's fine, but he has set his expectations too high. So he walks past the alleyway going next, and he sees that the back going down along next to the theater, and he sees that the door is open. And I love the little use of the it's a moment where he looks down the alleyway and he realizes, I can commit a crime right now. And and the movie that's playing on whatever screen is nearest to the door must be some sort of horror movie. And we hear a scream, almost as if an eternal scream of his internal angel is screaming at him, being like, no, my moral compass, you're gonna destroy it. And he whistles, puts his hands in his pockets, and walks on in.
Oh, yeah. And we get, like, we get some, like, funny, like, hearing, like, you know, halves of movies and stuff like that as he sneaks around trying to find a way to get into the movies from the back rooms.
Yeah, just some goofy shit. He sneaks through the backstage and walks across the screen, goes along the side, ends up back in the projector room, decides to watch the movies from the projector room. Yeah. And then I believe it just the projector breaks at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow I thought it was going to be Arnold's fault. It's not. It is just pure fate. He is not meant to see this.
That's what I love, too, is none of this is Arnold's fault. It's all just the world denying him the perfect Saturday.
He gets up into the vents and, like, you hear the monster movie protagonist screaming, no, no, don't get any closer.
Yeah.
And he falls out of the vents with a scream into an open chair.
That's right.
That's the first thing that's worked out for him. So you get that, like, brief moment of hope, and then the projector breaks and the announcer says, due to technical difficulties, we will not be showing any more movies today. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because they were asking for so little money for their movies and they couldn't maintain their equipment properly.
But
Arnold is defeated and he goes back to sulk on the roof of the boarding house, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's having a real bad day.
It's a real bad day. Where his grandma shows up, like, lowered from a crane while playing the piano, singing a song. And she's like, well, we couldn't get the piano in through the door, so we're just going to put it up on the roof. And Arnold's like, I'm sorry, Grandma, that sucks. And she's like, what are you talking about? We have a piano on the roof. It's great. It's like, yeah, that is one of the perks of getting older, is you learn to appreciate bad days. Like, you know, you get a thing, but it's not precisely the way you want it. Well, guess what? You still kind of got a thing. And if you appreciate it, then, I don't know, there's a beautiful, not quite stoicism to it, where it's not like everyone has perfect control of their emotions, but if you step back from a disappointing situation, you can maybe find something good about it.
Right.
I like that.
Right.
Yeah. And and also there's a song, and there's a nice bit of characterization with, like, the Arnold hears a car crash down below him while grandma's singing, and it turns out a bunch of clowns have crashed into a fire hydrant and they're getting arrested and all their balloons are floating up.
Am I crazy, or did it seem like that person, the clown, was getting arrested for more than just a traffic collision? There was something
he
else was, going
he
on
was
there.
Tied up, he was tied up on the road, so
I think that clown robbed something. I think that was a criminal clown for sure.
But I like the symbolism of Arnold, like, trying to catch a bunch of balloons and not being able to hold any of them as they float away from his grasp. And then another balloon comes to him and he, like, kind of pretends like he doesn't want it. And then he goes for it and he still doesn't get that one, but he sees it, like, fly away. He's at least looking up now. It's a good visual metaphor.
And the song is great. Look up. I had forgotten about it. It suddenly came back to me. It's like, I remember this from my childhood.
Yeah. Here's my question. Okay. So you're watching from 6 o'clock until Dance Craze. Well, Dance Craze, probably my guess, I'm going to go by my read on cartoons would go until wrestling, basically. And wrestling would start at like 11. So I'm going to say 11. I'm going to be generous and say 11.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
All right,
yeah.
The three bowls of cereal, that's happening concurrent with all of this stuff. Could play catch. This is where we go next. I mean, I guess if you're doing it real mercenary style, like Chad was saying, where you're just throwing to each kid and be like, all right, see you, kid, and then getting on to the night.
With transit, I'm going to say hour and a half for that.
Okay, let's say it's
12:30.
This is feeling doable. This is feeling real doable.
Steepest Hill, you take the Steepest Hill to the cinema,
Yeah.
Like that's enjoying your transit time. So that's possible.
That's true. That's maybe an hour. Maybe an hour.
Sitting through the same movie three times, depending on the length of the movie.
This is the 90s. It's probably a 90-minute, beautiful, tight 90-minute movie.
4.5 hours watching a movie?
You got time. You got time to spare.
You'll be home by dinner.
I think the 3 hours for the movie is going to be the hardest part, honestly.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you're doing like actual sit through 2 hours of time, that's at least, there's no way, it doesn't also start, there's like at least a 30 minutes of them cleaning.
You're talking about ancillary time. He's talking about the 20, yeah. the trailers, and the cleaning.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's at least 8 to 9 hours, I would say.
I think we're still getting home at 8 o'clock with time to do extra activities, if you would so please to do extra activities. I think this is, okay. A doable. I was doubting it, but I feel this is a doable day.
Maybe you won't have time to go up on the roof and learn a life lesson and sing with your grandma, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta get inside before dark because that's when the Morlocks come out.
I don't know what city this is, but it might be one with Morlocks. It's certainly one with haunted trains.
So let's talk about this. Probably the more easily applicable to Goosebuds as a podcast.
Right. This is the horror episode that everyone showed up for, the haunted train.
Yeah, I remember this being spookier. In my memories, it was spookier than it actually is. It's just kind of like a goofy episode. I think like the Pete and Pete like trash, like Christmas trash man is a scarier character than the haunted engineer or whatever.
I think you might be right, yeah.
But this is, I don't know, this is an evocative episode. It's just not a lot really happens in it. There aren't a whole lot of surprises. It's just basically, you know, it's summer and everybody's bored. And Grandpa, the old man that he is, sees the kids being bored and decides this will not stand. I guess the paradigm has kind of shifted. Boredom used to be more of a thing. Now it's like we're concerned with kids wasting their time. Rather than being bored.
Yeah, you could fill yourself up on internet, you know?
Oh, yeah. Till you burst, dude.
You can just suckle away at that internet teat all day long if you'd like.
And the internet will thank you for it.
So Grandpa's like, let me tell you about hell.
Yeah. I love how we have to dance around saying hell or Satan or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I love how we still get to tell the story. We have to say the fiery underworld.
And fire and brimstone. It's not a sulfur smell. It's fire and brimstone.
Yeah. The red hot demon himself instead of Satan.
right. It's a cool thing. So Engine 25 was a train. Yeah. that was bound out into the countryside one day, and the engineer on the front went mad. And we see him, and he's got a real Frankenstein-y look to him, Frankenstein's monster look. He's got like a mottled and patched skin with stitches in it. And he takes the train off the tracks, and it's never seen
so
again. It's never seen again, which is really wild that he just rode that train straight to hell. And they didn't even see the hole. But the scary thing is that every year on the anniversary of the derailment, it comes back, and passengers who wait at the station will be flashed with a blinding white light, which will hypnotize them to join the train in its descent back to hell.
They'll experience a smell that smells like rotten eggs or brimstone of the of the underworld. They'll hear an ear-splitting, inhuman music.
Maybe a wailing and gnashing of teeth, yep. If you will.
Yep, they'll enter the zone of darkness. I love how Grandpa's voice actor, how Grandpa Seiyu does this whole thing.
By the way, is Grandpa voice? I should look this up before I ask this. Is Grandpa voiced by Dan Castellaneta?
Castellaneta,
yeah, Homer Simpson.
Because
there was like a guy in that episode that sounded like just like Homer.
It's the engineer at the end is.
Okay, yeah, that's Homer.
It is his grandfather as well.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. Yeah, and Grandma sounds like either Tress McNeil or another Simpsons alumni. Mm-hmm. Seymour's Skinner's mom.
No, you're totally right.
Oh, wow. He's also the moving man.
Yeah, Tress McNeil is Arnold's grandma and Dan Castellaneta is Arnold's grandpa. I had no idea until rewatching this with you guys. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a terrible genie, but he's really good at Arnold. I think we all agree.
Agreed, yes, agreed.
Then you enter the zone of darkness, then you meet the demon, and then essentially you die. The whole episode is essentially laid out from the get-go, so it's very similar to the list.
Right. We know exactly where we're going, and we're going to see... Well, we, instead of seeing the failures, we see everything come true.
Yeah. You know, we have an interaction with Helga and Arnold, where Helga's the Scully and Arnold's the Mulder, and Gerald is the Shaggy, I guess.
Smoking man.
Yeah.
I love Helga as the skeptic, where she was like, I need, like, EKG charts and stuff. I was like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, show me ectoplasmic evidence. I think one of the fun parts about Hey Arnold was having kids say ridiculous shit.
There are some really great lines throughout it. Like, I love that when eventually they do encounter the haunted train, and she says something along the lines of, like, why do I have to have such a inquisitive nature, or something along those lines.
Oh, curse my inquisitive nature.
Yeah.
Definitely boosted my vocabulary as a kid. And Helga is great in the Hey Arnold canon because her character is fairly steady. Like, you know, a couple characters are either bullies or cowards, depending on what the plot needs them to be. Some are just weird and are, like, perpetually weird, or a punching bag and perpetually a punching bag. And Arnold is kind of whatever the plot needs him to be from episode to episode. He's just, like, the, you know, the cipher. He's like, you know, you can put yourself onto Arnold or whatever. But, like, Helga kind of has, like, wants and needs and dreams and disappointments and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's cool to see her be a part of the crew, even if she's a slightly antagonistic part of the crew.
Yeah, and I think the antagonism drives things forward a bit. So Helga, Arnold, and Gerald go together to the evil platform to see Engine 25 on 53rd past Livingston, across the place from that tire shop. And they get there and, you know, they just kind of chill out. And a fair amount of being a kid, at least in Massachusetts, is going to an abandoned building and just kind of shooting the shit there.
Yeah, that's what we would do as kids, too. We definitely had haunted things. Not quite as much related around trains. A lot of ours were abandoned schools. And we would go into abandoned schools. And that is precisely what it was, Kevin. It's you go there and it's a hangout. And I kind of love that about this episode, is that it's like a hangout episode. We're just plopped down into different scenarios until they get onto the train, things go all kinds of...
They get on trains like fucking fools. They've already been told the train takes you to hell. And they're like, well, we'll just walk on board.
Well, they get flashed, I believe, don't they? And they're
yeah,
sucked
I
in.
Guess they're mesmerized and they have to get on. Yeah,
And the... before that, they do an animal cruelty with the bats. Like, Arnold's just swinging a 2x4 at a bunch of bats that are flying over him.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the bat sequence.
And I'm like, bats aren't going to hurt you, dude. I mean, they may have caused COVID, but in your timeline, they're fine.
Yeah, they scare off some bats. They sing a blues song a little. We got a harmonica blues that happens. And it's a beautiful little song.
I like this kind of style of storytelling where everything kind of leads up to a song. Adventure Time really did this well.
Sure.
Where it's like, let's kind of build a bunch of scenes around a song that one of the showrunners or one of the writers wrote or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
And that kind of becomes the emotional core of the episode. I think that's a good system. I love seeing that in, you know, 11-minute, like, time frames.
Right, to give a minute of your 11-minute time frame to a song is a lot, right?
Yeah. But it really helps, like, drive these things home. And, you know, in season 5, they discard this whole, like, a song and episode thing altogether.
Terrible.
But
I need my songs.
It's nice. These songs are great. Both ones that I remembered in retrospect.
Yeah. So all of the things we discussed happen. A train pulls in just as Helga's about to leave because nothing's happening. They're pulled on by a blinding white light. They smell a smell that's like rotten eggs. And then something breaks the order for them, and they think they see Satan creeping up on them.
But that's right.
It's just Brainy, the running gag kid who just kind of loses and gets punched by Helga.
There's some cool, scary imagery in the when the lights go out and stuff like that. It gets a little slightly surreal for a brief couple of moments, and it's very nice. It gets a little whimsical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like the red outlines and stuff that they do around the kids as they're like being pulled through the zone of darkness.
Right.
And then yeah, they reach hell and Arnold's like, grab the fire hose. We're gonna squirt Satan.
Today we put hell out.
And they spray down a steel mill worker who explains all of the things they've been experiencing. And
he's Dan Castellaneta, and he sounds almost exactly like Homer. It's kind of very comforting to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I guess some people don't appreciate the polka in reference to the Inhuman music.
That brought me back to the 90s when making a jab at polka was a fun and hilarious thing to do. So, led by Weird Al, who also revered the polka.
Yeah, also felt very Chicago Midwest to me. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, the Polish community, they're working down there in the still mills.
Yep.
And then Grandpa comes and picks him up and takes him home, and Arnold recounts the events to him, and Grandpa's like, well, at least you weren't bored. And Arnold's like, but there was no Engine 25. There is no haunted train. And he's like, well, I didn't say that. And then we get like the full blues song.
Mm-hmm.
There's less of a lesson in this one. It's more just like, you know, the vibes. It's the vibe of...
Well, yeah. I mean, sorry, I'm not... I feel like you're burying the detail of like, we reveal the ghost train is real.
Yeah.
And there is a real demon ghost at the helm singing along.
It's got like Over the Garden Wall Highwayman energy to it.
Yeah.
Very much Highwayman. Yes. And like, I guess a weird asthma kid is just like hanging out by the train, just nonplussed by the ghost.
Brainy knows.
Brainy is a supernatural enemy, I guess.
Yeah.
Brainy's a cryptid for sure.
I love that. I don't know. It just kind of feels like an internal meme, you know? It's like, and what if we have Brainy just off to the side? Like, what if we have that little bit of object permanence of, we didn't even talk about Brainy getting like thrown out of the moving train.
Oh my God, that's right. I forgot him.
Yeah, they threw him into the water.
I remember I was like, we were watching it. Jen and I were watching it. And I was just like, Jesus, they just manslaughtered that kid.
Well, he's being a creep.
He was being a creep.
I like that there's a low tolerance for creeps in Hey Arnold.
You know, I will say that I do think this episode had a little bit of my take on it, if there is to be any sort of like thesis or lesson. Whereas the perfect day that precedes this, the list day, is a day that a kid gets to do all of these wonderful activities. And, you know, it's like kind of this idealized version, and Arnold tries it and nothing works out. And he learns at the end that the perfect day is every day, and it's just enjoying what comes to you, right?
Yeah, it's finding the perfect moments of an imperfect day.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And this, to me, felt like it was about the kids being bored and the grandfather saying, well, anything can be really exciting and magical if you use your imagination. You know what I mean? Like, it's like looking at it from like a different perspective. And it is their imagination that ultimately takes over and makes them feel like they're on the haunted train briefly.
Yeah, and also memento mori, one day you will die.
And that too.
There is a healthy amount of memento mori. And there are other episodes that like delve into urban legends and stuff. Stoop Kid is kind of an urban legend.
Stoop Kid's a legendary episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pigeon Man, also an incredible episode.
Mm-hmm.
None really have the like goosebumps vibe of the haunted train, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if RL, does RL do a haunted train at all?
I don't know.
He goddamn should.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always liked that trope. Like, I like the ghost train in Final Fantasy VI.
I thought about that as well. I was like, oh, when does Cyan's dead family show up on this one?
God, like what if, and then Cyan's like character development is just over. They just kind of abandoned Cyan for the rest of the game.
That was the peak.
Wait, sorry, what are we referencing? I don't get it.
Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, okay.
Have you played that one, Chad?
I'm a Genesis kid. I didn't get to play
it. Well, you probably got to play lots of great RPGs on Genesis.
Yeah, I got to play Comic Zone.
Dude, Comic Zone rocked. No hate on Comic Zone.
No, that was good. It was the coolest game we had.
Did you beat it?
No.
It's real hard.
Didn't know what I was doing.
It's a hard video game.
You're like, I guess it depends which track you pick, but you're probably like, I don't know, what, 10 hours into the game? Not even, right, Kevin? When you encounter Cyan?
Yeah, it's an early part of the game.
It's real early, and the character who is with you for pretty much the entire game, you learn that his family died, and you see their ghosts on a train.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, man. Final Fantasy VI is really, really good.
You know, I like the train from the Dark Tower. I like Blaine the train.
Is that real?
Yeah, listen, Stephen King was going nuts. There's like a sentient train from the old world, and it's got driven by an AI, and it's slowly gone crazy, and it talks about this like nursery rhyme of like Blaine was a pain and he was the worst sort of thing. It's a fun time.
I am doing, while we've been talking about this, I've been doing a little Googling to see if there have been any haunted train goosebumps. And the only thing I find is there was an R.L. Stine's The Haunting Hour episode called Toy Train, where there's a haunted toy train.
Oh.
What's R.L. Stine's The Haunting?
That was I believe a Netflix show. Right, Chad?
Okay.
Yeah, we have not watched it. Maybe we should check it out for Goosebumps.
Yeah, there's three seasons of it.
Well, damn.
Well, goddamn.
I would love to know how the production on that is, because the Nickelodeon one was a lot of fun to watch.
I'd check it out.
I'll do it.
I don't want to make any enemies. That's good.
I don't want to get yelled at.
It feels like we're at the end, so let me just say thank you for following me along this little side tangent. I know I often break up the regular Goosebumps content to introduce a 90s thing that's tangentially related. This might not be the most incredible, like, scary children's story of all time, but I just like the warm vibes of Hey Arnold. And
yeah, I think, and we were talking about this with, like, Pete and Pete episode, like, doing Pete and Pete episodes on this. I enjoy taking a little side step into 90s children's television. We haven't done too many other books, but we have touched on a couple. I like to go out there and see what else was going on, because I think one of our big digs against the Goosebumps series is sort of the nihilistic undercurrent through Goosebumps, where nothing really matters and there's nearly no lessons to be learned from the horror. It's just horror for horror's sake. And I think good horror always kind of had a point that I was trying to make. And it's nice to watch things that are trying to say something, that is like trying to teach a kid something pretty deep, you know?
Speaking of trains, did you guys realize that, because I was looking at, what else did Craig Bartlett make? I was like, you know, he didn't make anything else for Nickelodeon, except for, in the more recent years, he created the kids' preschool show Dinosaur Train.
Whoa.
What?
This dude loves trains.
Dinosaurs on a train. This guy loves trains.
good for Craig Bartlett.
He's a train man. Cool.
Is that really it? He just made Hey Arnold and Dinosaur Train?
No, I mean, yeah, he had written for a lot of other shows. He has some credits as a story editor on Johnny Bravo and more recent years, Sid the Science Kid and later ones. I mean, his main major creation, though, was Hey Arnold, and then the more recent Dinosaur Train, which are for very different demographics and age ranges. And but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, as long as he wasn't on Fanboy and Jum Jum, I guess congrats, man.
Does Kevin hate Fanboy and Jum Jum?
I just think Fanboy and Jum Jum's really funny, because they turned down, Nickelodeon turned down Adventure Time to get Fanboy and Jum Jum. Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's how it is in this entertainment industry, y'all.
Who's to say? Who's to say what would have been better?
Kevin, thank you for suggesting that we take a little sidestep.
Well, thank you for coming along with me, guys.
It was a good time. I was happy to revisit this show. It's been a minute since I've watched it.
Yeah.
Likewise. Hey, if you want to help influence what we watch next, or read next, or cover next on the podcast, and also support the show at the same time, the best way to do that is go to patreon.com/goosebuds, where you can pledge your support to the show. And those at the Camp Goosebuds level get access not only to our Discord, but also to our bonus Camp Goosebuds episodes. If you love the banter at the beginning of these episodes, how could you not? What if you wanted a whole episode of that? You get that every month.
Whips all banter.
Dozens of Camp Goosebuds episodes available for you now.
And you get your name in the Book of Names, and you can pledge your powers to us.
Yeah.
Listen to the Book of Names segment if you want to know what we're talking about.
Do it.
This month's name section, I'll tell you, is pretty spicy.
We put a lot of energy into it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a, there's a fun, good. There's a fun spin on it this month.
Y'all got anything else, news or stuff you want to share?
Yeah, I just want to promote a show I like on YouTube called Continue.
I
think we continue to be in a continuing renaissance where every episode is just wonderful and makes me laugh. So if you want to check out continue on the YouTube machine, even if you misspell continue typing it into the YouTube search bar, it'll still kind of take you there. I typed in contibu and I found it. So
I've also typed contibu multiple
times. As they say, all robes lead to contibu.
So that's my plug this week, I guess, is contibu.
Paul, do you have anything?
I mean, it's funny because Kevin went and plugged my thing and I was planning to use my plug period to say support Kevin's new game, Wizard Laws Are Meant to Be Broken.
It's a
fun little puzzler. You got to give it a shot.
Oh, thanks, man. You can find that at supertry.itch.io or supertrystudios.com. They just link to the same fucking place.
And I will be supporting Chad's things, but I know Chad is on a long term. He's working on something.
Oh, it's cooking. I'm gonna support the hell out of Chad's thing that he can't talk about and I can't know about.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, you don't know. I'm not breaking any NDAs about.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not. Okay, I was gonna say I don't know anything about what he's working on. I just know he's working hard.
Working hard in this mind. And hey, I want to give a shout out, unrelated to any of this, to Paramount Plus.
Couldn't have made this episode without Paramount Plus.
Or at least not legally without Paramount Plus. And hey, Paramount Plus, you're working real hard. You got Survivor. You got Star Trek shows. Check out Star Trek Prodigy. You got to work on your fast forward and rewind controls a little bit. The browser needs a little bit of help there, but it's there's good content on there, and any feature shows on there are going to be pretty good too.
And you know, Paramount Plus, I love paying for a thing and still seeing ads. That really,
Jen was so upset about that. I do love though that when you sign into Paramount Plus, you go to Paramount Plus sign in, which is a fun combination of words to say in your head.
So here's to you, Paramount Plus.
Thank you so much. Until next time, y'all, thanks for listening to Goosebuds. We'll see you around.
Bye-bye.
Catch you later.
Bye-bye.
Goosebuds is made possible by the support of our wonderful Patreon supporters, and we absolutely must read from the Book of Names.
Book of Names.
First, we have Stefan Jive Turkey Kuwabara,
Hollis Hornbeak,
Low Belly Hate Me,
Cameron Murphy Audio,
Michael McDowell,
Hey Josh Rob,
Mickey C,
Nathan Dolezal,
Mike Lanteri.
I just real quick want to say, I feel like reading the tops of these is like Sirius should be playing and the Chicago Bulls announcers should be reading these names, because I feel like we're in like a list of names that I've heard for my entire life. Buddy Morrill,
Ilkade,
Mel Dipson,
Afshin,
Brian Wells,
Dango Twists,
Zentacles,
Stealth Bates,
Robert Moon,
Jason Crooker,
Clay Castle,
Miguel Pardo,
John Keaty,
Gaff,
Justice for Paranoia Shop content. You'll never get any.
The Juggalobalist.
Gregory D. Warren.
Alan Saylor.
Cody Redfield.
Bradford Coulter.
Aiden pledges their hammer to Dwarf Daddy Kevin.
Thank you, Dwarven Child.
Jar Jar Slinks.
Chosen One pledges his cadre of musketeers to House Kevin. Thank you, musketeer children.
Levi Than.
Up and Champ.
I did that joke last month, and it's still funny to me, so it's just going to keep happening.
It stays in.
Jonas Eggman.
Carl.
Anthony Mulberry.
The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation children.
Elusive Koala.
Yanni Markovina.
Brooke X.
Jesus Christ.
Christian Vanskever.
Drew Applegate.
Jeremy Lowe.
Brian Hobgood.
Zach Connor.
Patreon _ donator comma yo.
Joe. Spooky Digital Ghost. Tierney.
Tom Whittem.
Andrew Jadsack will gladly take those spiked lawn aeration sandals if Chad has no use for them. I know what they do now, and I'm using them all the time.
Whoa.
His sod is so well aerated.
I'm stomping all over my sod.
Lord Cornwallis will do that as well.
Carson Birkenbean knows what we're talking about.
Murph EP.
Alicia Grafe.
Devin Ticklebean, the Chadswarm.
The Chadswarm.
Oh, hello. Sean Minogue.
Rushy Glenn.
Wiggle it.
Luke LaFountain.
Chip. Handsome.
Matt McClellan.
John Barber.
Sarah Kemp.
Tawny Turtle.
Jonas Blotterman.
Juan Jalapena.
Stick that down with some Keith Halcrow.
Timothy Misodilakis.
Form it into a nice little statue with some Clay McCarty.
Park it right there with Parker Lee.
I don't have anything. Paul Grasso. I love you, Paul Grasso.
Aerate your sod with Paul Grasso.
Paul Grasso.
Ride me out onto the middle of the lake. I want to have a lake picnic with Ham underscore boat.
Let's not get too crazy with Joe regular name Scott.
Hey, everybody loves Raymond Hernandez.
I had to clear my throat. I'm a little flammily.
Proud to say the crowd friends, but prideful. Happy Pride. You're getting the hard ones, Chad. You're getting the hard ones.
I'm going to take a seat with my Matthew Sutton.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I am over the Alex Moon, the robotic dog, over that last one.
Wow. Sorry, Jeffrey Owen Kahi.
Nice.
Just a dash of Kelsey Kinnaman, please.
Ooh.
Oh, I broke my arm. I'm going to need a Russell Casberg.
Hope everyone else likes this. I hope people enjoy this.
Professor Xavier?
Nice. That's where I went. That's where I went too, man. Oh my god, good luck.
Wait, let me go to my favorite steakhouse, Ruth Chris Putricus.
You know who else great? A basketball great, Scottie Pippen. That was easy.
I'm gonna have a big old bowl of Luke noodles.
Pour me one too, and a giant Hugh Boland.
I gotta clean up some ice. It's all something been skating on. I'm gonna get the Zambambino out.
I gotta protect my spirit organ that's in my butthole from the dungeon kappa.
What is happening? Grand Moff Hamster has located the plaque base on Planet Tooth.
I don't see what I don't see Zach where this name is.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. We can stop.
No, this is hard. This is good. This is going to get the juices flowing, going to get the energy up. We don't want to be limp ducks out, right?
Hark! Is that Tobias Clark?
Hey, you rhymed one.
Hell yeah. Don't get too loverly, meet Virginia.
What?
You know, I already mixed Nathan once, but I think it's time for a Nathan remake.
Hey, you remember that bowl you poured me, Kevin? I need a little more kimchi.
Yeah.
Guys, my toe's been killing me because I Reed Steubendyked it.
you know who I saw the other day in a large, pants-shaped castle? It was Estimena, Lord of Paul's Pants.
You know, I was down in Australia and I saw a whole pack of wild Joey Evans.
Hold on to your pants, because Chris Paranormal Pajama Priapism Nelson is here to fling them off. We're killing ourselves.
Kevin, this is going to be a 30-minute edit.
Yeah, you know what? We'll do this at a different point at another name reading. But we'll go back to speed for the moment. Carewise Gamgee. And I'm serious because I'm giving up the Lord of the Rings reference.
Let it be known that Kevin tapped out all of you who pledged to him.
Yeah.
Swaggy Yellow Squire has the moves. If you want them, come back to the old factory on Main Street with $10,000 cash. No cops.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's cool. Cameron Hansen.
Kieran McNamara.
Diet Soda.
Jackie Ledoux.
Coleman Laguza. We did a good volley for a while, guys. Just want to say.
Yeah. I was down to keep going. Lamb!
He's really going. You're really trying to get those people to pledge to you. You know, it feels generally depressing that you're really reaching out to them so hard.
No, we said we were done. We said we were done. The deadly bulb with nothing fun at it.
A pair of Scots.
Ben Bohan.
Matt, the half-court warlock, bachelor.
Levi Kidder.
David Gray.
Bryce Dieri.
Matthew Brittato.
Cuxan callback.
Cuxan.
Cuxan callback.
Carbson.
I am Cornholio. I need TP for my bunghole.
Jonas Enevoldsen.
Calamity Carl.
Boney.
Germ Juice.
Some of Chad's bird friends, we pledge our talons and sharpened beaks to Chad.
Squaw.
They don't need sharpening. They're so painful already.
No, they do have to. They need some calcium.
All right. Okay. Keep them going. He's right.
Nicholas Maloney.
Nick Johnson.
Burger's Wonderful World.
Stephen Day.
Eric Horwitz.
Tiffany Lee.
Dr. Egg Drop Soup Man.
Thomas Jansis.
Lucretia McEvil.
Mutant Astronaut.
Ryan Carroll.
Jeremy Bowser.
Henry Torbear.
Adam Knapp.
Ninja Breadman.
Megan McCormick Mason.
Peanutberg, level 69.
Helodicus Frenchlin.
Aaron Lord.
Logan Derby.
Brad Schmelzer.
Dr. Chocula pledges every claw and fang under his command to Paul.
That's at least 12.
doing the math. Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, check.
Flush!
Callum, Mr. Misfire West.
Mandy Nasty.
Skeletorin.
Robotarena. I just realized what it actually is.
Robotarena.
Robotarena. Yoplin.
Philip Reynolds.
SSJ Trogdor.
Chicago Frank returns.
Nate Bitg.
Mr. Unimportant pledges this cool rock he found to whoever last trimmed their beard.
Not me.
I did it last week.
Don't got one.
I guess I get that cool rock.
Ryan R. Davis.
Scott Wable.
Rocco.
Josh Howell pledges his zealotry to whomever needs it most. Everyone.
Zealotry for all.
See, I feel like I should take it all. That makes me more zealous. Evan Bowen.
Mike Spaghetti Jones.
Greg Mustow.
Chris.
Sean Aston masters the Gundam Death Scythe Hell yeah. Amber by 311 AMP.
Yeah, second coolest Gundam in Gundam Wing. Hi, first time, long time.
Allie Rose.
Sprinkle Buns.
Soggy Newspapers.
Chris Kulik.
Dakota Kemp.
John W.
Hilda B.
Saturn Video.
Liam Rogers.
Kiwio Flurb.
Serial Killer X.
Wade Norcross.
Ollie Sutz.
Kate the Great.
Mike Hart.
Cassandra Harris.
Gulliver.
Kit Bush. I love your music.
Benjamin Luther.
Cyrusin.
Dennis Wright.
Jover the Moon.
Edgar's Crassus.
Cameron Ganseveld.
That last name was my favorite.
Soap.
Big Nick Lane.
Kira and Brian are big fans.
The Office of the Goblin Grader.
Blake Bad Time Havin Cavin.
Matt Scepter.
Greg Gervasi, a.k.a. Vitizen.
Dan Antonio.
Philip OG Quicksand Truther and Blade Pledger Hamill.
Kevin Cole to pay the toll for eating booty hole tonight at 11.
Just want to clarify, that's whole W-H-O-L-E.
I ate the whole butt. I can't believe I ate the whole butt.
Hey, once you pop.
Anthony Rodriguez.
B.
Jeff Webb is still a big baby, but we both sincerely appreciate your well wishes.
Alpaca acquaintance DDS.
S.
Farah Ernie.
CM Crystal Maiden.
Turaku, the thing that goes dunk in the anime. Dunk, dunk.
Jesse.
Chris Curto.
Cole Gleason.
Spencer Y.
Tan Your Hide.
Jesse Boggs.
Michael Malloy.
James Stavernos.
Bjorn Deer.
Kyle O'Neill.
Chris, the official Goosebuds Chronicler and Ledgerman Byers.
Robert Holden.
Grab Comics.
Adam Brundle.
Jonathan McKinnich.
Anthony Stoker.
Doglips Kajoyan.
Gunnar Toland.
Brony Danza.
Mecha Obama.
Max.
Zindane.
Wonder Skin. Feels just like real skin.
Now on Paul's sentient My Buddy doll.
Oh god.
Oh,
oh
Lord.
God.
Horrific.
AKA Cyberbully.
Blarbin pledges his insect glaive to Kevin.
Thank you, my insect glaive children.
That's Neo, right? That has the insect glaive? Or is that a Monster Hunter?
Monster Hunter, but Neo Monster probably Hunter. Too.
Yeah, Neo can have anything. He just has to say insect glaives and then a bunch just
no, N-I-O-H, in. Not Matrix Neo.
Oh.
No, we're saying the same thing.
Okay.
Brandon Nichols can do that too.
Angelo Edward Longton Santone pledges the Holy Blade of Justice.
Try to and come against the Holy Blade of Justice. I don't care what your houses have.
Christian God is real and has chosen Paul?
Melodies.
Talene Jones.
Bacon?
Logan Kilgus.
Bosferatu.
Starship 9.
Funny.
Caleb Snyder, Grandmaster of Spells and Enchantments, pledges his wizard, staff, and ancient tome to Paul.
God Whoa. Damn.
Christian God, damn. God and wizard God have both chosen Paul.
Pagan God and Christian God are on my side.
For once, they agree. Proper spaceman?
Lumo Nuva.
Brian Udath.
Oh, a tall glass of dumb bitch juice.
Drink it up.
Glug, 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 glug. Boppy of the Eastwood, Unlockener of Worlds.
Ooh. 3 a.m. sleep.
I love this name. I don't think I've read it before. Nowhere Lucas.
Brian Storrow.
And now we welcome to the Book of Names. Officially unofficial ducks in public.
J.W.
ZB, what's going on with these initials y'all doing?
Colin Regan.
Jessica Nicole is the last name in the book for this month.
Welcome to the Book of Names. Get to know your name neighbors because you'll be hearing them forever.
Did we riff too much in this names? Not enough? Let us know.
Let us know. Talk to us via your names or on the Patreon. We love you.
We love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Goodbye.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.